The world is a scary place. It took less than 5 minutes for Drew to wish he had never left his house. Unfortunately, it only took 2 minutes before he was hopelessly lost. The forest was as dark and smelly as the inside of a glove. The tiniest sliver of moonlight crept through the thick branches overhead, certainly not enough for him to see the objects in his way. Roots and rocks tripped him up. Low-hanging limbs smacked his face. An animal, perhaps a raccoon or a werewolf, curled up on his head and howled at the moon. By the time Aunt Sadie's clock would have chimed 9 times, Drew had more bumps and bruises than a toad in a tornado. He wanted so bad to get back home, but without a compass or the stars to guide him, he ended up heading in the wrong direction. After bumping into the second tree with his face, it was a 50th, but Drew couldn't count past 2, he came up with a bright idea of holding his hands out in front of him to feel his way through the forest. He walked like this for another hour until his legs dragged and his throat was dry. A low groan came from between his parched lips. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw shadows of what looked like people walking through the forest all around him. Their arms were raised in front, they dragged their feet, and a low groan came from their throats. "They must be lost too," he thought. "Do you have any idea where I am?" he asked the nearest shadow. "I'm lost, and I'm looking for my Aunt Sadie's house. Do you know her? She's old and she smells like dust." The shadow turned ever so slightly. Long, stringy hair grew out of the left side of its head. It opened its mouth as if to bite and said, which loosely translated means, "If you head back yonder around 2 miles, you'll see a clearing. Take a left there. You don't want to go inside, because at any given moment, there are 20 hunters with crossbows who don't understand that all we zombies want to do is live in peace, and occasionally snack on their livers. Anywho, keep going straight until you reach a large oak tree with deer antlers stuck in it. Hook a sharp right and drag your legs 344 times. It'll take you right to your Aunt Sadie's house." Of course, all Drew heard was, which made him really annoyed. "Well, if you didn't want to tell me, you should have just said so," he yelled at the stringy-haired shadow. All the shadow heard was blah, 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 which she thought meant, "Thank you." "You're welcome," she said. "And you're going the wrong way," she added. Drew was too far away to hear, though. "These people here are so rude," Drew said as he kept stumbling forward. "I guess I'll have to find my own way home." Sometime later, after the stars had climbed past the highest point in the sky and began to fall towards the horizon, Drew made it out of the forest. He didn't realize it, though, because for the last 20 minutes he had walked with his eyes closed. It hadn't mattered in the thick blackness of the forest, but out in the open it would have been nice to see the stream which lay directly in his path. He fell in, and the icy water froze his nubbins, that part of your belly that makes you scream when you step into a pool for the first time. A soaked raccoon, or werewolf, released its grip on Drew's head, swam to the bank, hissed once, and scurried down the shore. Drew slipped on the mud as he tried to step out of the stream. He was so cold, and wet, and angry. He wished he had stayed home and began to cry a little. The wind buzzed, and a voice whispered in his ear. "Come over here, Drew," it said. "Who said that?" Drew asked. "It is I, Drew," the voice answered. "Who?" "You know. Just look to your left."
Drew looked to his right.
"No, your other left."
Drew looked farther right.
"Left one more time."
In the distance, the light from a fire caught Drew's eye. Even from so far, he thought he could feel its heat.
"You can't go over there," Drew told himself. "You don't even know who's calling you."
The wind howled now. His clothes stuck to his body like a tongue to an icy flagpole. He watched the yellow and orange sparks crackle in the night sky and imagined how toasty warm he would be if he was by the fire. Cautiously, he headed towards the flames as the water dripped off his chin. Something zipped past his ear. It was small, so small he barely noticed the buzz. He took a few steps and heard it again. "Must be chickens," he said. Drew didn't know what chickens were. All he knew was that they had weird long heads and giant wings and a silent pea and made buzzing noises. Maybe I'm thinking of pterodactyls. I thought they only lived in South Dakota. Guess they migrated. Bzzz. His feet slopped over the muddy ground. The fire waited far ahead, barely a speck of red in the black. And to pass the time, he began to think of other things that had silent peas. Psychiatrist, pneumonia, hamburger, pencil, happy. Although I'm not sure which pea is silent. Bzzz. Stupid pterodactyls, he said as he waved at his ear. Go away, wave, wave. Get on now, wavety wave, bzzz, wave. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Drew started imagining flies wearing tiny shoes. How do they tie the laces, he said. It's not like they have fingers. Bzzz. Silence. Drew looked at his arm. A tiny black bug with bulging eyes and six bent but very stiff legs stared back at him. Ah, he said. Look at the cute pterodactyl. He scrunched his lips. I always thought they'd be bigger. I wonder if the Tyrannosaurus rex was this small, too. The bug bobbed its head up and down. A thin, needle-like nose started to descend from its face. A stream of clear liquid dribbled out of the corners of its mouth. I wonder what pterodactyls eat, Drew said. He made a thinking face, which is very similar to his I need to use the restroom face. I bet they eat fruit. Probably the plumcole, half plum, half pickle. They're surprisingly good. The needle nose dropped even closer. Or maybe they eat grape, half banana. You know, they really could have come with a better name for it, like the grape nana or the baked grape-a. Even closer. So close it could smell the delicious red Drew juice just below the surface of his skin. A mouth appeared from the end of the bug nose. It opened wide, revealing rows of sharp, gnashing teeth. The head reared back and jerked forward, tiny fangs dropping towards a tasty feast, snarling, sneering lips, ready to gorge on. Oh, well, Drew said, flicking the bug off. I guess we'll never know. The bug made a tiny splashing noise as it landed in the stream. Drew was about halfway to the fire and sang a song to motivate his tired legs to keep moving. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a pterodactyl, E-I-E-I-O. With a buzz buzz here and a buzz buzz there, here buzz, there buzz, everywhere, bzz, bzz. Drew looked at his arms. Hey, buddy, I see you've brought a friend. How nice. Flick, flick, splash, splash. Where was I? Right. And on this farm he had a bzz. Drew raised his head. The sky had turned darker than black, not because there were no stars, but because a giant swarm of bugs with bulging eyes and six bent but very stiff legs descended on him, blocking out all light from above. His eyes grew wide, much wider than a pterodactyl's nose mouth. His heart began to thump as though it wanted to jump out of his chest. Run! His brain screamed. Huh? His legs asked. Run! Oh, run. I thought you said rug. Why would I say rug? I don't know. I figured. Just shut up and run, his brain ordered. But why? His legs saw the bug swarm for the first time. Of course. Got it. Ah! His brain and legs said together. Drew ran faster than he ever had before. His feet moved so quickly that his shoes flew off and landed in a nearby tree. Help me, he called out. Somebody, please, help me. Come this way, a voice answered. Which way, Drew said. I can't see you. Where are you? Oh, please, kind sir, save me from these bloodsuckers. Come towards the fire, the voice said. You'll be safe here. They can't get close to the flames. Drew remembered the fire and headed straight towards it, stopping only once to adjust his socks. He stood back up and began to scream again. Ah! The bug cloud was almost on him. Thousands of sets of gnashing teeth made a horrible screeching racket, not unlike Drew's first and last day playing the saxophone. His legs could barely move, but he forced himself to keep the pace. His knees hurt, and the sweat dripping down his face nearly blinded him. The bugs threw away their tiny saxophones and started to buzz again. This time the buzz sounded like a raspy, furious voice.
"We're going to get you, Drew."
"No, no, no! Somebody help me!"